is Mae Brussel, tape number 444. It's June the 6th, 1980, and it's side two. There was a meeting this last May the 9th in Houston, Texas, of some very important people, each of them, or most of them, linking back to the assassination of John Kennedy, November 22nd, 1963, the day that Carl Jaspers said shook the world that wanted peace, and set us back into this dark age that we have today. The lead article is 100 Americans vow to raise $1 million each to spread the gospel. That's $100 million. The meeting of these people was in Houston, May the 9th, and the story was carried in Houston and Dallas newspapers. More than 100 of America's wealthiest and most powerful people have pledged to raise $1 million each. That's $100 million each in a $1 billion drive led by Nelson Bunker Hunk to save the world by taking the Christian gospel to every soul. About a year ago, I mentioned a group of people led by Mr. Hunt that want to turn the entire world Christian. Well, whether you put the Jews in concentration camps and get rid of them or other non-believers, or whether you ostracize them by the whole world being Christian and they are excluded, they're ripe then for persecution and harassment. These people have an organization called Here's Life World. There are 24 campuses. There's a Campus Crusade for Christian International Incorporated. And the organizers of Here's Life will not mention who the contributors are. It's set up by William Bright, a Christian who heads the Campus Crusade, and the Hunts had offered $10 million in the very beginning to get it started. One of the men behind this was Clement Stone, the man who put so much money into Richard Nixon's campaign and helped Dwight Chapin and various persons at the time that they were under investigation at Watergate, and hired them when they got out to work for his organization, the insurance company in Chicago and all over the world. The head of Holiday Inn was a member of this original group to turn the whole world Christian. But now they're surfacing. And in Texas, there was former President Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was on the Warren Commission and hid the Nazis and the conspiracy, the White Russian Tsarist conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. Also present was Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski. Jaworski was at Nuremberg and was instrumental in covering up the majority of the Nazis, where a handful were hung and the rest were released. He surfaced at the time of the Kennedy assassination to conceal the conspiracy and Jack Ruby's role with Hunts and other oil people and the true criminals behind the killing and murder. He surfaced as a special prosecutor at the time of Watergate to conceal the links of Watergate to the Dallas assassination. He was the prosecutor for Koreagate, where everybody got off with a hand slap and the money from Reverend Moon could be documented. Nazi money coming in from Germany to Korea and into the United States to buy off our congressmen. Leon Jaworski is a part of this group. Astronaut James Irwin, and of course the Torbett document and other books have documented the role of Nazis and NASA, our space agency, in their role in various extreme right-wing positions in this country. The astronauts are political. Cowboy star Roy Rogers was there, football quarterback Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw, a businessman, Clement Stone was at this meeting, and Clint Murchison Jr. That's one of the other persons, and I've mentioned many, many times the roles of the Murchisons. They had a controlling interest in Holt Reinhardt that put out Mark Lane's first book, Rush to Judgment, and I had accused Lane from very early years on, long before Jonestown, of concealing the Nazis and the Tsarists and the real people behind the assassination of John Kennedy. Another member of this team that turned Christian recently is industrialist Cullen Davis. In 1977, he was charged with killing his 12-year-old stepdaughter, but the Texas courts found him innocent of that. He was later charged with soliciting a murder of the judge in his divorce case. He was cleared of that. He had another trial. The jury cleared him again. Now he's become a Christian, and he's led by a group in Fort Worth, Texas, evangelists, and he's welcomed into this group. Clint Murchison, John Conley was there. He's a part of that. John Conley was Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of the Treasury, has property located in Tyrol Bay in Jamaica and is closely associated not only with the assassins of John Kennedy, but as the governor of Texas, covered it up and had correspondence with Lee Harvey Oswald himself, knows that Oswald was in Navy intelligence and has been part of this combine of corporations, the Galen operation, the ITT, the corporations that have done the assassinations and have taken literally control of our economy, of the news media, and allow these assassinations to continue. They don't blush or turn, and now they have combined their energy and their money to turn the whole world Christian. The pictures in the newspaper of Leon Jaworski, John Connolly, Mrs. Murchison, and Nelson Bunker Hunt tell you a lot about where their minds are a few years after the murder of John Kennedy. Jack Ruby was at the offices of Nelson Bunker Hunt, and he worked as a front man for these people at the time that he shot Lee Harvey Oswald or Oswald's double in order to silence the real story of the assassinations. And Murchison is active with these people. They've pledged millions of dollars, $170 million recently, to go into the Philippines, the jungles of the Philippines. They're putting up $1 billion to spread a movie called Jesus. They're going into China. They want to make all of China Christian. This is one of their stories, that they want to turn all the Chinese into Christians. And the article says their film aims to teach, reinforce, and assure these poor people in China and elsewhere that if they let Christ into their lives right there, and if they die that very night, they will go to heaven. This is what the blacks were promised when they took Christ on the plantations, that they'd float on those pink clouds once they died, so never mind the fair shake that they get now. And the movie, as I say, Jesus, and all of the money is to go into areas, $100 million here and $1 billion there and another million here. China, they say, is a future target for total conversion, and a Pray for China manual has been compiled to pray for the 900 million people in China and convert them to Christianity. The goal is to make the entire world Christian, and the very people like Gerald Ford, Leon Jaworski, John Connolly, the Murchisons, Nelson Bunker Hunt were all involved in those days back in Dallas in 1963, and here they surface now with a goal that does not allow for differences of belief, but what will follow will be the repressions, the terror, the killings, the conversions, because these people control the silver market, the soybean market. They could cut off food that the poor need. They have all kinds of techniques and unlimited money and unlimited weapons. They're going to have another meeting in New York in September of this year, September 19th to 21. So you people in the East Coast, save all the newspapers you can on these meetings. They're as secret as the Bilderberger or Trilateral. The names of the people, except for these few, were not released. There'll be a similar meeting in Miami, January 23rd to 25th of 1981. And the goal is to go out into the world and give the word of Jesus all over the world. Now, they have a campus crusade. They started with $1 billion goal for 1982, and it will be growing. But they've broken down the kind of money you give. If you, for $100 million, you can become a world sponsor. If you donate $100 million, you are a world sponsor. If you give just $50 million, he or she can become a hemisphere sponsor. For $25 million, you can be a continental sponsor. But if you're just a cheapskate and you have $25,000, you can support one missionary and a staff member out in the field as the gospel is spread. And the big shtick to the people they convert is that even if you die tonight, you go to heaven. So become a Christian now before you die and don't fear death. This reminds me of Alternative 3 and all these other genocidal stories. It won't matter if you die, because you'll meet Christ when you get there. The movie Jesus was released through Warner Brothers Pictures in the United States last fall. It's now in Latin America, Australia, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and the Caribbean, and while it grossed $11 million, they're looking for $17 million to break even, and then they're raising millions of dollars to send this out in the world. They have what they call executive vision tours. Remember, this is church-related, so it's all tax-deductible. They have an African group that will go out and hopes to get 16,000 new followers a day on the continent of Africa, and then they give degrees, Masters of Art, Master of Divinity, Master of Ministry, and they have a crusade 24-hour hotline on the telephone out of Arlington, Virginia. There's one Christian embassy. They explained in the second part of this article that there are millions of people out there that are lonely, that are watching TV, that their lives are not full, they're unfulfilled, and that they turn to Christ overseas and nationally. Here the masses will convert to Jesus. So with a committee of 100 people giving a million each, that's 100 million, and then people like Bunker Hunt giving millions, billions to this, and Clement Stone and other groups, their goal was to raise, I believe it was $22 billion, and turn the entire world Christian within a few years. And all the main leaders and organizers out of Houston and Dallas are linked not only to the Central Intelligence Agency, but directly to the murder of John Kennedy in 1963, at which time the peace talks, the Entente, was over. It began to be smashed when Eisenhower wanted rapprochement with the Soviet Union, and the U-2 came down and broke up the peace talks. John Kennedy's brother was not going to investigate organized crime that worked hand in glove with these people as the Attorney General. They were not going to integrate the schools and raise the earning ability and the education of the blacks in the South. They weren't allowed to pull back from Vietnam. They were removed physically and murdered because they would not invade Cuba for these people. And now these people have surfaced just 17 years later since Kennedy was killed and are on their crusade going forward with all the strength that they have. There was one little article in the newspaper this week, San Francisco Examiner, and one of the Los Angeles Times, that will interest people who have studied the Robert Kennedy assassination. The little two-inch article says, "Police chemist suspended. Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Department's chief forensic chemist, the controversial figure in the investigation of Senator Robert Kennedy's assassination, has been suspended for being remiss in his duties. It was disclosed Friday that 8 of Dwayne Wolfer's aides and subordinates have also been disciplined for improper conduct, including drinking on duty and firing pellet guns in their office or on the street. Dwayne Wolfer was the controversial man who mishandled the evidence of the second gun in the murder of Robert Kennedy, worked for the Los Angeles Police Department, went on to other promotions as the chief of the forensic chemistry division of the Los Angeles Police Department, but they're under so much investigation for their death squads, similar to Brazil, and for their shooting people on the streets, and for the mishandling of physical evidence, that they finally got Dwayne Wolfer out. What they got him out for was really the wrong reasons. He was remiss on his duties, and maybe they shot up the office, or maybe they drank on the job. But what he did with the criminal evidence of the murder of the senator and a candidate for office, that has never been fully opened up. But anyway, Police Chief Daryl Gates, who replaced Ed Davis in Los Angeles, has suspended Wolfer without pay, and they said he failed to provide proper storage and analysis of bullets and other evidence and improperly supervised firearm and explosive investigations. So time finally caught up with Dwayne Wolfer. Not enough yet, and it certainly doesn't make the blazing headlines, but that man at least is suspended from the police department at the time being. But his boss, when John Kennedy, after John Kennedy was murdered and Robert Kennedy ran for presidential office in 1968 and was killed in Los Angeles, the boss of Dwayne Wolfer was Ed Davis, chief of police in Los Angeles. Ed Davis won the GOP nomination for the Senate this week, as did the head Klansman from the state of California. The chief member of the Ku Klux Klan, an organizer from California, won the seat in the assembly in the elections as a Democrat in the primaries yesterday. He has to run against the Republican, but if one's a Nazi, the other's the Klan. But he did win the Democratic nomination. But ex-LA Police Chief Ed Davis won the nomination for Senate in California. Former Los Angeles Police Chief Ed Davis won a bitter battle of conservatives for the Senate primary last Tuesday. He'll run against a Democrat. He'll have to face a Democrat from San Fernando Valley. But Ed Davis is a man similar to Himmler, Goering, Goebbels, and all of Hitler's henchmen put together, whether Bormann or Mengele's or any of them. And none of these people that were involved in these political assassinations have even gotten so much as a slap on the wrist. You see G. Gordon Liddy surfacing and Spiro Agnew, and John Mitchell's doing well, and Richard Nixon's living next door. to David Rockefeller and traveling around the world and getting out a new book as if he were an elder statesman. Well, I have mentioned many, many tapes. Watch out for Ed Davis surfacing, and there is a man who has covered up murders in Los Angeles as chief of police and now wants to be in the Senate in California. Another man I've talked about on many tapes is Mike Curb, our lieutenant governor in California, the protege of Richard Nixon. He worked with Ken Reitz, and they had some nice secret money dealings in Washington, D.C., secret money in the desk of Robert Haldeman. They were linked to Watergate, and not only Watergate, but surreptitious counterintelligence, death squads. These people have links to evidence that has never been opened up on the primary witnesses of Watergate that were murdered, the shooting of George Wallace, the Chappaquiddick affair. Mike Herb is young. He's only 35. He's a millionaire. He is lieutenant governor, but now he's going to the Republican National Convention, and you're going to see his face night and day on television. And remember how long ago Mae Brussel told you he was climbing that ladder. I think of Reagan winning the nomination, which he literally has in his hands, for the Republican Party, and how in New York City at the Elgin Theater and on radio various times I talked about Ronald Reagan having the power, the real power behind him, and how I repeated this, but I don't know if I repeated it enough. People said, watch Nelson Rockefeller. It's Rockefeller has the power. I would say it was Reagan. Well, Rockefeller's 6 feet under, but he's cremated anyway. He's not even there. But Mike Curb and Ronald Reagan have total power. Curb is going to be at the convention. He's young. He's good-looking. He'll be up on the rostrum all the time. He'll be on display all the time, primetime television. He can work himself up. He could be the governor of California in 1982. He could be a presidential candidate in 1986. He's very good-looking. He's capable. He represents the most conservative elements that there are in this country. A radio commentator was defending the right of the Klan to run for office. They said, you can elect. If that's the will of the people, you elect them in. That's how Adolf Hitler got into power in 1933. He was personable. The poor liked him. The women liked him. He was going to get full employment. He was against the corporations and Wall Street. And Hitler looked really good for a change for Germany. And he represented the will of the people. And Mike Curb is this very clean-cut, good-looking young person who is catapulted as lieutenant governor in California and now will be the chairman or host in Detroit this summer. You'll see a lot of Mike Curb on the television. Several weeks ago, I did a tape called That's Incredible, or the Awa Maru, the sunken treasures off of China that are being brought up by the Chinese government. And I mentioned the Glomar Explorer being built by our tax dollars and the CIA, and want to update with you a little article on Glomar, which was just in the Houston Post this last week. Whatever happened to Howard Hughes' Glomar Explorer? The article tells about the Glomar Explorer. It was one of the CIA's best-kept secret. Howard Hughes' organization agreed to use their name and use it as a cover for CIA plans. It was designed to mine mineral and mineral-rich deposits in the ocean depths, and the veil of secrecy and tight security shrouding the ship was explained as a simple precaution against industrial espionage. This is from the Houston Post last week. From 75 until 78, the Glomar had rested at Suisun Bay, now a consortium headed by Lockheed Corporation, which again is the CIA, leased the ship for the testing of deep-sea drilling, and now they're going to reconvert that ship. A group of people are going to take it for deep-sea, more refurbishing for deep-sea drilling. They're taking a $5 million budget from private industry, $5 million budget for private industry, and then they'll convert the ship. And maybe it'll cost them $700 million. But if they put the ship was built by the United States tax dollars, then they'll add $700 million and bring up $2 billion. The simple mathematics, you can figure that out. Instead of giving the money back to the tax people, they're taking a ship that was built for the government by United States taxpayers and then convert it to their private business where they can do offshore drilling and engineering and scoop up the minerals from the sea. And along those lines, I mentioned that the ship could go outside of China or assist China in bringing up the treasures from the Awa Maru. There was also an article in the Houston Post Chinese are licensed to make Howard Hughes tool bits. Officials of the Howard Hughes Tool Company and the China National Machinery Import-Export signed an agreement licensing the People's Republic of China to manufacture the Howard Hughes patent for drilling oil and rock bits. That was a private invention of Howard Hughes' father, and it belongs to the corporation, and they can now sell it. And they're going to work with China, with Prime Minister Deng. He's the man that's been talking about arming and making war against the Soviet Union. They'll build a plant in central China, the capital of their largest province, that's rich in oil and gas deposits, and they'll use the Hughes bit and that tool bit to start drilling for oil and other minerals. And they will have the equipment of the inventor, Howard Hughes' dad, for bringing up what they need in China in terms of oil and minerals. And they also can work with us, with the Glomar Explorer, to bring up the wealth of that ship that was taken from the Soviet Union to Manchuria, then to Japan, and then left outside the doorsteps of China just before the end of, right at the end of World War II. Remember how Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger went over to China and opened up trade with China? Well, immediately the Hughes Corporation sold $75 million worth of products to China starting in 1973, and they've been assisting them with their oil rigs and breaking into the soil, and in return, the Chinese factory will buy from the Hughes Corporation, and we will begin to arm China, hopefully, to make war against the Soviet Union. All last summer, I worked hard to put the documentation together on the book that I'm doing on Lee Harvey Oswald, and I'm going to get back to that book. Hopefully, by the end of June, I'll be working straight through and get that book together. The research is all done, and the writing part I didn't want to put off till this summer, but the middle of the year is so busy, and I'll get back to the writing part. But a big part of that book, or the essence of it, is the story of the doubles of Lee Harvey Oswald. And, of course, I supported the lawsuit of Michael Eddowes to dig up the remains of Lee Harvey Oswald because I don't believe that Oswald is buried in that grave in Texas. Eddowes wants to prove it's a Russian spy. I think it's an imposter, but I don't know how you could tell by the skeletons that it's a Russian imposter. This is 17 years later, and I don't think that it's possible to know his nationality or what his brain was thinking by the bones that are in that coffin, although it might be possible after 17 years to find out that it wasn't actually Lee Harvey Oswald. But I support, of course, the lawsuit that Michael Eddowes has had. He's written several books on the subject, and he claims that that is not Lee Harvey Oswald in the grave. Well, just this last week, that effort, that lawsuit, was stopped. There's just one small article in our newspapers. Maybe your Texas papers have more, but from Fort Worth, Texas, it said the court will not allow Michael Eddowes to have this body exhumed, that this has been rejected. The Second Texas Court of Civil Appeals requested it, and the original ruling of the judge holds, and Eddowes is not entitled to sue. I think the reason was that he was an American citizen, although I don't know why a group of Texas researchers, just on the basis of being denied their civil rights of a war escalating after Kennedy was killed, and the possibility that an imposter was placed there, that even Lee Harvey Oswald could be alive, would be reason enough to bring up this body. But in the meantime, I never really did believe that there was ever a single chance in the world that that body would be brought up, because, again, it would be one more piece of the puzzle that would disprove that original lie that Earl Warren and the others foisted on us. There was an article in the San Jose Mercury about a new book coming out. The book is called The Undiminished Man by Janet Stevenson, and it gives insights into Earl Warren and his background, and tries to say that Warren wasn't specifically a champion of civil liberties. He's been painted as a great judge, a great champion of liberties. And Harry Farrell in the San Jose Mercury has an article, Pre-Court Days, Earl Warren Was No Champion of Civil Liberties. Well, he wasn't in his pre-court days when he was a district attorney in California, and he wasn't when he was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And his book shows some of the opinions of Warren, and specifically they go to the Pearl Harbor period where he pressed for the internment of the Japanese. And there's some quotations here, 2.5 months after Pearl Harbor. He went to Congress and told them that the Japanese were dangerous. This was the quotation. The only reason we haven't had a disaster in California is that it is timed for a different date. Our day of reckoning is bound to come. I want to say the consensus of opinion among law enforcement officials of this state is that there is more potential danger among Japanese born in this country than alien Japanese born in Japan. And it goes on to say that Earl Warren had no monopoly on this kind of logic, and that Walter Lippmann also wrote about the sinister lack of sabotage on the West Coast and got into the act. Walter Lippmann is the journalist that I called while he was still alive and said there was a conspiracy in killing Kennedy, and he said, if you gave me the volume number and page number, I'd hang up on you. And I said, well, I'll start and you hang. I read and he hung up on me. Evidently, this book is going to show Earl Warren as a little bit less than the great champion of civil liberties. That was another facade. He was put in by Murray Chotiner, the man that discovered Richard Nixon. They worked with organized crime. They covered up the assassination. They worked together. He worked with Dewey as vice president. He ran in New York City as the Republican presidential candidate. And that was the first big election financed by the newly formed CIA from the OSS. Again, working with people from Resorts International and organized crime. So what better person could cover up the murder of John Kennedy than Earl Warren, who was serving his masters well through the years with his facade? Again, these phony liberals, these liberals that pretend that they're servicing mankind while they continue to dig the grave. Now that he's gone, finally, somebody is writing books about the kind of phony creatures we have to live with. They're worse than phony. They're fatal. Save all the articles you can get about the coup in Liberia, the killing of Tolbert there, and also stories of Libya and Gaddafi. I don't have time on these tapes right now to go into those, but I will at length, and by the time I do that, you may have thrown away some of the articles and thought they weren't important. So save those until we get to them. Albert Speers has been hired by ABC to help make a movie on the Third Reich. There was a demonstration in Los Angeles against this. ABC TV in Hollywood has retained Albert Speer, Adolf Hitler's Minister of War Productions, as a consultant for a planned series called Inside the Third Reich. This is a brochure that was handed out at Century City. Speer was sentenced to 20 years in prison by the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal in 1946 for crimes against humanity. His subordinates, including Fritz Sokol, were hanged for their role in the slave labor camps under Speer's direction. But Speer's was allowed to be out, and now he's insulting the Jewish community by being a consultant, ABC TV movie on the Third Reich. Hitler's notorious head of war production is not only able to publish books and lecture around the country, but he's assisting American Broadcasting for their televised production of what happened in Germany. I also want to do a lot more with you. I mentioned just a few weeks ago the new moon treaty, the desire to take the minerals off the moon, and drug companies want to make drugs up there and steal and various minerals and not give the third world the idea that they would be able to share them. If they don't have the technology to get there, there's a fear that the United States corporations won't invest the money that's necessary if they have to share anything up in space, the minerals and so forth, with the third world. It's similar to the Western migration. They didn't share it with the Indians or the poor blacks, and they want to let it be known before they start exploring that they do not have to share this material with the third world. If they get up there first and put the money in, they shouldn't expect any of the profit from this adventure. The company that is taking care of the moon rocks, the mining metals and the minerals, and rewriting the moon treaty so that it doesn't belong to all mankind, but yet it belongs to Kennecott Copper and other corporations. The head of that group is United Technology, and General Alexander Haig is president of United Technology. So these people whose names are in the news, who have worked with repressions and Nazis and organized the world for World War III, Haig was formerly the head of NATO, moved on to World Technologies, United Technologies, it's called, where he can make sure that the world continues to be raped in space and outer space, and that the poor get no share of it. That's the same kind of thinking that Adolf Hitler had. It's the kind that he patterned after the American exploitation of Indians and blacks. General Alexander Haig, if he isn't vice president under Ronald Reagan, will continue to be president of United Technologies, and this group is rewriting the treaty to make sure that the corporations get the profits and that the moon does not belong to anybody except those people with the money to get up there first. Next week, I will read to you a letter from Catherine Revlin, the woman who infiltrated the party we had last summer and helped William Taub write The Forces of Power. But in the meantime, I have to put away the unfinished business. There isn't time again. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. You take care, and we'll be back together with more information to share about this crazy, mixed-up world.